A broad but locally relevant mining forum takes place this weekend in Haines, and a borough-funded Haines Economic Development Group considers RFPs for initial work. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories and more up next. If a mineral exploration project north of Haines eventually becomes a mine, it could change the Chilkat Valley's economic and environmental landscape. 12 organizations are putting on a two-day forum this weekend to educate residents about what a local mine could mean for the valley. The idea started with the Tokchinook Watershed Council, which held a smaller mining forum in 2015. Derek Poinsett is the council's interim director. He says what began as outreach to a couple people resulted in a 12-organization steering committee planning the event. It includes the Alaska Miners Association, Lynn Canal Conservation, the Haines Gillnetters Association, and two local tribal governments.
It certainly wasn't as easy as if you just had a room full of like-minded people. We tried. I mean, it was the goal to bring in all viewpoints on a potential mine. And so we all had to sit at the table together and figure this out, and it was a successful process.
The forum spans 2 days. There are individual presentations each morning and panel discussions each afternoon. Audience members will be able to submit questions for the panelists. Topics include the economic impacts of mining, state regulation of mines, risks to aquatic life, and the social impacts of mining on small and native communities.
You know, everybody's busy and you know, I mean, not everyone has time to go and sit down and research rock geochemistry or, you know, mine development. And so to bring something like this here is, I think it's one of the few ways that a lot of us, you know, have access to some of this information, and that's the goal of the whole thing.
Constantine Metal Resources is evaluating the potential for a large-scale mine about 35 miles north of Haines. The Canadian company is in the advanced stages of exploration at the Palmer Project site. Constantine expanded exploration this past summer to promising results. They're searching for gold, copper, silver, and zinc. Liz Cornejo leads outreach for Constantine. She was involved in the 2015 mining forum. She says one of the criticisms of that event was that not all of the information was relevant to the Chilkat Valley. This time around, organizers are trying to make it more locally meaningful.
The goal for this one versus the last one is really to keep the information relevant to what might be appropriate for, you know, Alaska regulations, for Glacier Creek Valley and the Chilkat Valley, for this type of mineral deposit at this stage in exploration, and to make it as relevant as we can without actually having a mine plan in place to discuss, because that's still, you know, potentially years in the future.
Cornejo will give an overview of the Palmer Project Saturday morning. Local debate over the merits of a potential mine rose to the surface in early 2016. The Chilkat Indian Village of Klukwan nominated the Chilkat River for a high-level environmental protection. The Tier 3 water status would shield the river from activities that could significantly degrade water quality. The Chilkat River nomination, along with several others, is in limbo. The state of Alaska is still figuring out what process it wants to use to evaluate Tier 3 nominations. For that reason, Poinsett says Tier 3 will not be a major focus of the forum.
We did want to stay away from it, not because it's not pertinent, but because later on this winter, the state is going to release its framework for evaluating nominations, and likely then we will probably have another presentation to talk about that. So we kind of thought that could be a distraction from a lot of the other topics that we wanted to cover in the forum.
The Tier 3 issue will probably come up during the afternoon panel discussions, which are driven by audience questions. The forum begins Saturday at 8:30 a.m. in the Haines Elementary School gym. You can find a link to the schedule at khns.org. The event is free except for a suggested donation for lunch. Tokshinuk plans to film the presentations for people who are not able to attend. A new organization aimed at growing the local economy is getting its footing in Haines. The Haines Economic Development Corporation secured funding from the borough for its first year. Now it needs someone to do the work. KHNS's Abby Collins reports.
Last month, the assembly agreed to give the HEDC, a new private nonprofit, $95,000 in seed money. The HEDC has three immediate goals. The group wants to gather baseline economic data, develop a strategic plan, and hire an executive director. At first, the HEDC posted a job description that would have the director compile the economic data and draw up the plan. But they didn't get the kind of applications they were looking for. At a meeting this week, the HEDC board talked about separating the tasks. Here's Jessica Edwards.
Put out RFPs for the professional work, which is the baseline data and the strategic plan. And so those are two RFPs.
Edwards said the cost of outsourcing for the baseline data and strategic plan is estimated at between $10,000 and $50,000. That's based on figures she got from a couple companies. That leaves at least $45,000 from the borough funding. Board members said that money could potentially be used to hire someone locally who could oversee the first year of work. Board President Kyle Gray said they're trying to think of ways to use the funding most effectively.
What is the best way to get the most out of our money? I mean, if we can get a very comprehensive baseline data done by another entity, then that can heavily influence the strategic plan in the best ways.
Greg Schlachter said putting out the RFPs doesn't mean that's the direction the group has to go, but it would give them options.
There's nothing lost if we send out an RFP and get an idea of the costs on this and then can find somebody potentially to facilitate these happening.
The board will meet again on Thursday, October 19th to finalize the RFPs. Reporting in Haines, I'm Abby Collins.
Federal fisheries managers are proposing an additional change to help charter halibut fishing businesses in Southeast Alaska and the Central Gulf during lean years of the valuable bottom fish. The change would allow one nonprofit organization to buy commercial halibut quota shares to loosen restrictive bag and size limits for charter clients. KFSK's Joe Vicknicki reports.
The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration's National Marine Fisheries Service is proposing a rule change that would allow one nonprofit organization called a Recreational Quota Entity, or RQE, to purchase halibut quota shares from the commercial fleet. Kurt Iverson is a fisheries management specialist at NOAA Fisheries in Juneau.
The Recreational Quota Entity would be able to buy quota shares from the commercial setline sector and use those quota shares to translate into additional harvest opportunities in the charter boat sector.
That could mean easing restrictions on the number and size of halibut that charter clients can keep in years with low halibut abundance, but only up to a point. That point would be the daily limit for unguided sport anglers, currently set at two fish of any size. The proposed rule was recommended by the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council in December of last year. Annual limits of halibut are divided up between the commercial and charter fleets in both areas under a catch-sharing plan. That plan already allows individual charter businesses to lease commercial halibut shares to loosen restrictions on their clients' catch under what's called guided angler fish. Samantha Weinstein, executive director of the Southeast Alaska Guides Organization, says the proposed program could benefit all charter clients in Southeast and South Central Alaska. She explains that the existing program for guided angler fish only works on a limited basis for individual charter businesses.
An individual fisherman can buy his own quota shares for the commercial fishery and then lease them to himself. Otherwise, it is pretty prohibitive for individual business operators. This RQE would spread the benefit across the entire fishery.
There are limits to how much of the quota shares that the charter organization could buy from the commercial fleet. The charter organization also could sell those shares back to the longline fishermen. And if halibut populations increase, there's also an allowance for reallocating shares from the charter organization back to the commercial fleet. NOAA Fisheries Iverson explains.
The RQE can't hold all the shares if halibut abundance is such that they've got more than they need.
Iverson says he's not aware of this kind of program in use elsewhere in the country. A 45-day public comment period on the proposed change ends November 17th. In Petersburg, I'm Joe Vicknicki.
For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening.